Praise God. On this weekend, God has a word for us that I believe is going to speak to a lot of things that's going on in our lives. I really believe that. And then also just position us, because God is always positioning us to go forward. God has given us victory. And we know that in the word, but I believe if we're honest, we can say that we're not experiencing as much victory as we would want to, right? And if someone says, "No, I'm getting all the victory I want," I really would doubt that, right? Because God is always stretching us and growing us and bringing us into new situations and circumstances, and in those new situations and circumstances, He wants us to prevail. And so as He keeps bringing us into new things and to newness of life, there's new challenges there. There's new things to overcome. And then God speaks things to our hearts and to our minds, and He opens up our spirit to new possibilities. And so we're always looking to do things. That's part of His creative nature, I believe, that He's always creating in us this desire to go higher, to go farther in Him. And then He makes a promise that He'll grant us the desires of our heart. And so, I believe that we're always trying to go forward in God, to go higher in God. And that's a truth. But here's a truth as well. As we keep trying to move forward in God, we have an enemy of our soul who tries to keep us back.
Always.
And, you know, we heard Sister Fennell talking earlier about the enemy being so busy. And please understand, we don't glorify the enemy one bit.
No.
But we don't ignore him either. I think that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't ignore your enemy. You need to know what he or she's doing.
Yeah.
Right? So that you can be prepared. And so, God has a word for us today. And I'm going to give you the title, and then we're going to go to James chapter 4. But the title is Mount a Resistance. Mount a Resistance. And really what God is going to be speaking to us about today is the need for us to mount a resistance against the enemy. Amen. To mount a resistance against Satan and his evil forces.
Yes.
To not simply talk about what Satan is doing, but to actively mount a resistance against him. Because if we mount that resistance and do it the way God has prescribed for us to do it, we would get that enemy out of our lives. We would stop his every evil work in our midst. But it's not going to just happen. We're going to have to actively and forcefully and devotedly mount a resistance. And so let's look at James chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses to begin with. Praise be unto God. We're going to do whatever the Lord wants. But we're going to start with two verses in James chapter 4, starting with verse number 6. James 4, verse 6. I'm going to read King James Version. And it says, "But he giveth more grace," talking about God. "Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray today. Father, we bless your holy name. Glory to God. There's none like you, Lord. You are a holy God, an awesome God. And Father, we love you. And right now, God, our ear is inclined unto your voice. Father, we pray that you will speak down from heaven right now. Give us a rhema word, a word for this very hour that we can put into our lives in the name of Jesus. Put it to effect. Father, we thank you right now that you're mindful of us and that, Lord, you have a word that will speak to our very situations and circumstances and will give us the victory. And so, Father God, we thank you now. Let your will be done. And Father God, we bless you and praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for listening ears and receptive hearts.
Yes.
And Father God, I pray that you'll use me for your glory and that, Lord, you will receive all the praise and all the honor, for you alone are worthy of it. We give you all of the praise right now. In Jesus' great name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we are in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and our word is mount of resistance. Read it again. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. And so we know God is real. Amen. But Satan is real too, because the Bible tells us that he is. Amen. And he's not some character dressed up in red with horns and a pitchfork, right?
Right.
But he is real. And the Bible tells us what his mission is. It's threefold: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he wants to do, and particularly as it relates to the people of God and to the things of God. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy. And he seems to be doing more of that today than ever before. And maybe it's because he knows time is drawing short for him. You know, I think about the, glory to God, the young man who was possessed by a demon from his youth. His father brought the boy to the disciples, and they couldn't cast that demon out. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He came upon the scene, and he said, what's going on here? And the father said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, how long do I have to put up with this faithless generation? He said, bring your son to me. And it says, as the boy was coming, the evil spirit that was in him threw him on the ground and was convulsing him and doing all these things. And it's because that evil spirit knew that Jesus was about to end his game.
Mm-hmm.
It was over. And so, you know, he wanted to get one last try of trying to destroy this boy. And see, that's why, you know, if we say Satan's doing more and more on the earth, it may well be a sign that he understands things are coming to an end. And so now he really has to try to get his one last shot in to try to destroy as much as he can in the time that he has left. And so he's doing more and more than ever before. But here's the thing about that we have to put together if we're really going to get what God is saying to us today. Satan is wreaking havoc in the earth. And yet he has no power. And he has no authority. Huh? Satan is wreaking havoc in the earth, and yet he has no power and no authority. And so then how is he doing it? Well, first of all, let's get to this no power, no authority point. Let's not leave that too fast. In Colossians 2 and 15, it says that Jesus made an open show of the devil. That he spoiled the principalities and the powers, and he made an open show of them and triumphed over them. Jesus let Satan know, I win, right? When he was crucified and, you know, he was buried for those 3 days, it said, listen, he made an open show of the devil, right? He went down and he let Satan know, you have no power and authority. I'm taking the keys. All right, I have it all. In fact, Jesus, when he rose, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Right, that's what he said after he rose from the dead. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. So that means Satan doesn't have any. So then, how is he wreaking havoc? Well, I would say that he's wreaking havoc because of two things, right? One, because people, including Christians, give him access, and that access leads to his empowerment. Please understand that Satan needs to access, he needs to have access to a physical body.
Yeah.
Right? He needs to have access to a physical body. And so he goes around looking whose body he can access. And so to the extent we give Satan access, we then give him the ability to do things that he couldn't otherwise do. The access leads to his empowerment, which is why we have to be careful not to give him access. Because if we, put it this way, if we stop granting Satan access, we can stop him from wreaking havoc and causing hurt and causing harm to ourselves and to other people. But we got to stop giving him access. How else does Satan, with no authority and no power, wreak havoc in the earth? Because we allow him to tie us up in knots. We allow him to tie us up in knots with worry and unforgiveness and other forms of disobedience.
Jesus.
Sister Manel said something today about unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, that's one of the chief weapons of the enemy. In fact, we need to look at something. I wasn't planning on this until Sister Manel said this in her reflection today. But I'm going to ask you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There was a man in the church at Corinth who had committed a sin. He had slept with his father's wife. And Paul had told the church at Corinth to kick that man out the church, right? But it came a time that Paul said, okay, you kicked him out, but you need to forgive him now.
Yes.
Right? And let's look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather forgive him and comfort him. So what are you saying now that you should do to the man?
Forgive
him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, that you would comfort him, forgive him, and confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Now watch this. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to which I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Watch this. Lest Satan should get an advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now I want to read verse 10 and 11 in the Amplified Version. Paul says there, if ye forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence and with the approval of Christ the Messiah. And why did I forgive? Verse 11. To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us.
Amen.
You see that? Why did I forgive? To keep Satan from getting the advantage over us.
Amen.
And then he says, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. We are not ignorant of his devices. This is how you know God is at work. Yesterday, Sister Manel and I, we were out most of the day, and I came home, and it's funny because in the morning I was reading an article, I was reading a magazine, a Christian magazine, and I wanted to read this article, and I got into the first paragraph or something, and something happened, so I stopped reading it, and so I came home, it's in the evening, and And then the Lord told me, go back to that article. So I went back to the article. You know what it was about? It was about keeping Satan out of your life. Now, I'm done. I'm ready for Sunday. That's what I think. But when I say I'm ready, you know what I mean? I'm always open, right? But I'm saying, it's not like, oh, now I got something. No, no, no. It was already there. And then as Keith Moore wrote an article, and he wrote this, because he talked about this very scripture right here.
Wow.
And you come talk about Satan's busy, and we got to make sure because of unforgiveness. Wow. I'm telling you, God's at work, right? And he wants us to mount a resistance against this old enemy of our soul. But this is what Keith Moore wrote. He said that word devices in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said that word devices can be translated plans thought out. Plans thought out. And then he said that Satan's most common device is to get us to fall into his way of thinking. So, for example, if you know, don't forgive, don't give, don't help, don't see. God doesn't say that.
Exactly.
But Satan says that. And his device is that, see, he has plans thought out, and he wants us to fall in line with his thought out plans. But it's not his plans that we as people of God need to follow, right? It's not his thoughts. See, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, and my ways and your ways. We need to get God's thoughts. Mm-hmm. But Satan tries to trip us and trap us by getting us to think his thoughts. Has God really said? Oh, he just knows that when you eat it, you're going to be like him. They're already like him. God said, I made you in my image and likeness. They're already like him. He's trying to get them to think his thoughts. And Satan tries to get us to think his thoughts. Because he knows that we think God's thoughts. Exactly. There's nothing stopping us. So he tries to get us to think his thoughts. That's one of his devices. And so how does Satan then, with no power and no authority in the earth, wreak such havoc? Well, because we grant him access, and we start thinking his thoughts. That woman gets me sick.
Right. Yep.
But God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So where did that woman get you sick thoughts come from?
It's crazy.
Huh? You see what I mean? Where'd that come from? I don't have to listen to you, Mom. But God says, honor your father and your mother, for that's the first commandment with a promise. So where that I don't have to listen to you, Mom thought come from? See, he tries to get us to think his thoughts. And if we can think his thoughts, because we know how thoughts are. What? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It didn't just say if you think God's words. It says as a man thinketh. So if you're going to think God's thoughts, you're going to be like God. You're going to think Satan's thoughts?
Exactly.
And that's why he goes around. And part of his devices, he has these, he has these plans thought out that he tries to get us to get in line with. Now, we go back to our text in James chapter 4. You know, we started in verse number 6. And verse number 6 started, but he giveth more grace. And so we know there were some things before that. And in the scriptures before that, in James 4, verses 1 through 5, it really was about God talking about the power of humility to overcome sin, right? Because it's talking about the fightings among you, the wars among you, the lust you have in your members, and you have, you have, but you're not satisfied, you ask, but you don't receive, right? And all these things. And it's really about being lifted up in pride because you just want, you just want, you just want. And God's message is that, listen, you know, be humble, that there's a power in humility to overcome sin. Why? Because sin and evil desires and disobedience and all those things all can be addressed by saying, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, we could talk a whole lot of things. We could say, read the Bible this many times, get these scriptures, make these confessions and all this thing. But I can say this to you. If in your spirit, it's not my will, Lord, but your will be done, that solves a whole lot of your sin problems and your evil thinking problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's humility. Humility is saying, yes, I want to do something, but it's not about what I want, Lord. It's about what you want. That's what humility is. And so the text is saying, listen, you got all these fightings and wars among you because all you guys are lifted up in pride. But if you can get humble, right, all these evil desires will be dealt with. If you will stop trying to be the lead dog and act like you're the most important person. See, that goes against the word of God. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then see how it comes back to thinking.
That's right.
And what, right? Capture those thoughts and bring it into the obedience of who? Christ. Not Satan's planned out thoughts. And so it's talking about being humble. And it says here that God gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud. But what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. Amen. So humility opens up the door to God's grace. And God's grace is God's favor, but it's also God's power, right? It's God's favor and it's God's power. I just pray that every Christian, as they say, you know, God's grace is his unmerited favor. Yes, don't stop there. But it's also his power, right? So if God's grace is on you, you don't just have favor, you have power too. It's by grace that you are saved. How many of you know it takes power to save a human being?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So it's grace, it's favor, and power. And so it says here that God gives grace. He gives favor, and he gives power to who? To the humble. And then verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore. In other words, therefore, because he gives grace to the humble, therefore, submit.
Amen.
Therefore, yield. Therefore, give in. Therefore, yes. Surrender. Therefore, be subject to. Therefore, obey.
Yes.
Right? God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humble.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It's not hard. God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humble. Not my will, your will be done. Therefore, surrender. And watch what happens. Therefore, surrender. And then it says, resist the devil, and what will happen? And he will flee from you. And he will flee from you. So God, it says that if we're humble, God will give us grace. If we're humble, God will give us favor, and he will give us power. And with that power and that favor, we can resist Satan. And he will flee from us because he'll understand he can't deal with that.
Amen.
He can't deal with that grace. He can't deal with that favor and that power. He'll go look for an easier mark.
Amen.
Now, too many Christians, and at many times and several times, I'm sure we can count ourselves in this number because no one is immune. Too many Christians pray that God will get the devil out of their lives. Lord, this Satan has been just messing with me. He just been messing with my finances. Lord, get that Satan out of my finances. Get him off my child. Get him out of my house. Get him out of my marriage. Praying to God, God, put an end to what Satan's been doing. He just been he been messing up my computer. My computer hasn't worked right in a week. You know what I mean? He just messing with me, Lord. Get him out of my life. But here's the thing. I believe something. God's not going to answer that prayer. And I say he's not going to answer it because he already has.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We just read the answer. Right? Well, why wouldn't he answer? Well, he wouldn't answer that prayer any more than if you asked me for my pen. And today I gave you my pen. And tomorrow you come up to me and say, can I have your pen? Now, I might, because you, the first time, I might say, well, I gave you my pen yesterday. If you came the next day and said, can I have your pen? I might say, I gave you my pen 2 days ago. If the day after that you come to me and ask me, can I have your pen? I'm just going to look at you. I'm going to give you a buffet, bro. I'm not going to say anything. Why? Because I already answered you. I already gave you what you asked me for. Why you keep asking me for it? There's nothing else I can do or say. I gave it to you already. So if we go to God and go, Lord, get Satan out of my life, and you've been praying that prayer, God says, bruh, I gave it to you already. Humble yourself, receive my grace, which is favor and power, resist that devil, and watch him run.
Yes.
What more you need from me? Already answered. Already answered. So, but here's the thing, though. We have to still yet avoid making a mistake, because sometimes we can take scripture and go too fast or too far, because there's two mistakes we need to avoid. Praise God. There's at least two mistakes we need to avoid. The first one is simply trying to resist Satan. Mm-hmm. You know. And then, you know, you throw a little scripture on it and make it think it's anointed. Get thee behind me, Satan! You can say that all day long if you want to, but if you haven't submitted your life to God yet, those words have no power.
Right. It's not going to work.
Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you haven't submitted your life to God, then those words have no power.
Nope.
Satan, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Get out of my house. If you haven't submitted your life to God, and submitted your mind, you know, you haven't said, not my will, but your will be done. If you haven't done the submission to God part first, you can't get to the resisting part. Right? So one of the mistakes we want to make sure that we avoid is just simply resisting Satan. Don't jump to that without first submitting to God, right? The other thing I believe that we have to avoid doing is just trying to ignore Satan. You know, the devil mess with you, you know, you, or somebody in your life, you know, is things are going wrong and you just gonna ignore it. You ever tried that with your checkbook? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have any money in there, you know, I'm just not gonna look. You know what I mean? But parents can relate to this sometimes. I believe there's every parent, especially when you have teenagers and young adults as children. You know, sometimes they're doing things and they're just messing up or whatever, and you just go, you know what? I'm just not dealing with it today. I'm just gonna, you know. Sometimes it's as simple as you ain't looking in their room. I told them to clean up that room, and then you get to it, just keep your door closed. It's like, you just don't even want to see it, you know what I mean? You just don't even want to see it. It's such a mess, and you've been telling them to clean it up, but they're not cleaning it up, so okay, just close the door then. Because at least then I don't have to walk by your bedroom every day and see
it. Right.
And sometimes we have messes in our lives and we try that whole close the door thing too. Because we just don't want to see. So I'm just going to ignore it. But see, if Satan is causing that mess in your life, just trying to ignore it is never the solution.
Nope.
And understand that he has nothing left to do. And he's just out there trying to create havoc. And so he will wear you out. Oh, you think you're ignoring me, huh? And he'll just ratchet it up. He will wear you out. So you can't ignore him. can't ignore them. Jesus once told a parable of the man who was possessed by the evil spirit, and the evil spirit got cast out of him. And Jesus said that the evil spirit began walking in the dry places, right? And he was looking for a place to dwell. That's what evil spirits need, right? He looked for a place to dwell. And he found none. And then he came back to the man that he was cast out of. And it says that his house was clean and it was in order. And I'm trying to think of the word that it used in the King James Version. Garnished. It was garnished, which means it was like beautified. It was ornate. It was pretty. So he comes back and he sees the house that he got, the house, right, the man that he got kicked out of. He found it was swept. I mean, it was clean and it was garnished. It was pretty. I read years ago, though, some time ago, that there's another word that it was in the original language that often doesn't get translated into the English, and that word, the Greek, it was a word for vacant or empty. So when he came back, not only was it swept and it was pretty, but it was empty. And that's why he said, what? I'm coming back in and I'm bringing seven more spirits worse than me. And it says the fate of that man was worse the second time around than it was the first time around.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, right? That see, it just shows you how much Satan will always come back. That's why you can't ignore him. We always talk about the Egyptians and how they chased after the children of Israel after Pharaoh let them go. Because the Egyptians, which represents the devil, right? This or symbolic of the devil. I'm talking about the biblical Egyptians, amen. Satan always comes back.
Mm-hmm.
He, right? You got left out, you got delivered from slavery, but Pharaoh came back to try to enslave you again. So you get delivered from something, but Satan's going to come back to try to enslave you again.
Yeah.
That's how he works. And so he came back the next time, and when he came back to that man the next time, he found him. His house was swept. His house was pretty. But his house was empty.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan came back in to his house. Why do I mention it? Because, see, I believe that sometimes, amen, as Christians, we're pretty. You know what I mean? On the outside, we look good.
Yep, on the outside.
We look good, man. Hair's nice. But don't say what I know about hair. I can tell you, he is smart like grandson then. Hair's nice, clothes nice, everything's nice. You look good on the outside, you say the right things, everything seems to be going right. But see, but what's going on the inside?
Nothing.
Right? And if you're empty on the inside, please understand, glory to God, that is what Satan is looking for. Do you know that Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And then he said, neither give place to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is he saying? He said, don't give him any room. Don't give him any room to enter. Because if you give place to the devil will take the place you give him. That's why that man in the parable that Jesus said, the biggest thing about him that was something we want to avoid is being empty. Paul later told the church at Ephesus, he told him, he said, be not drunk with wine in which there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And I think that's in Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine to excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why be filled with the Spirit? Because if you fill with the Spirit, Satan has no room.
Right.
You're not empty. And now there's no place in you for Satan to enter in. And remember, he has no power, he has no authority. He's always looking for access. Picture him as a thief going around the perimeter of your house checking for open windows. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. Checking doors, seeing if they're locked or not. Why? Because he's just looking for just give me some place to get in. Be filled with the Spirit. You remember when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and this was after he got baptized. He was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And then he was tempted, the Bible says, he was tempted of Satan for those 40 days and 40 nights. And how did Jesus defeat him? He used the word, didn't he?
Yes.
It is written. Every time Satan says something, it is written. Told him that three times. Satan tried to tempt him three times. Jesus was able to repel him and rebuke him three times by saying, it is written. Now I want to show you something though, because this is something you may have overlooked. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Because the account of Jesus being led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan is in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. And in Matthew, we understand that it says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And this was right after he had gotten baptized. If you look at Luke chapter 4, it adds something that Matthew's account doesn't have. And we find it right in verse 1. Look what it says. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, Matthew doesn't have that part of being full of the Holy Ghost. Matthew's version says he was led of the Spirit. Luke lets us know he was full of the Holy Ghost. So why is that important? Because there was no place for the devil to get in.
Yes, yes.
And so when we look at Jesus and we go, oh, he used the word, he used the word against Satan. Yes, he did, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Satan had no entry point. Amen? Satan had no entry point. And so then, when we look at what God is saying unto us in James chapter 4, and what he's saying unto us today of Mount of Resistance, yes, Satan is on the prowl, right? He's trying to wreak as much havoc as he can in your life and in mine, right? He's trying to destroy the people of God. He's trying to destroy marriages.
Yes.
He's trying to destroy families. He's trying to destroy ministries and businesses. He's trying to steal your peace.
Yes.
He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your money. I mean, let's just make it plain. His mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he looks at the things in your life, and that's what he wants to do.
Exactly.
And God is saying, don't cower in the corner. Don't pray unto me and ask me for things that are already answered. Stand up and mount a resistance against him. Because if you mount the resistance against him in the way that I say you should, you will get him out of your life. But we got to submit. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the submission part is so important because it will then grant us, it'll give us the access to God's grace, right? Because it's only in his grace that we're able to submit, to resist Satan, right? Once we have his favor and his power. I want to read to you, this is familiar, we were just talking about Ephesians so much, and so I just want to read this to you, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We know about the whole armor of God. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isn't that something? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But we just said, how do you get God's power? Right? By being humble. Why? Because he gives grace to the humble, which is his favor and his power. And so here, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, humble people receive the grace of God, receive the favor and power of God. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. For what reason? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means that you be able to stand up there and withstand him and mount a resistance. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it? In God's power and in God's might. Well, how do you get it? By submitting yourself unto God.
Yeah.
That's why it's so very dangerous to live a life of disobedience.
Yeah.
That's why Satan wants you to go your own way. He wants you to be your own boss. He wants you to think that you can do whatever you want and you really don't have to listen to God. He wants you to fall into disobedience so that now you can't be in that humble position. Because again, what does it mean to be humble? It means to yield, to surrender, to comply with, to obey, to subject yourself to. And so if we're not doing that, God tells us to do something. I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
That's why I'm telling you, pay attention to the small things. Sometimes as Christians, we get all caught up on the big things. Mm-hmm. Yes, forgiveness is a big one. Yeah, but don't be so caught up on that that God tells you something like, you know, pick up the paper off the floor or clean your room or rearrange your closet and you think you don't need to do that. Because after all, that's not spiritual. It is spiritual because God is a spirit. And if God's spoken unto you, it's spiritual. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life.
Amen.
So you can't say God told me to clean out my closet, but that's not spiritual. He's just talking about a closet. God is spirit.
Yes. He told you.
See, we think being spiritual coming to church. No. The spirit realm is greater than this visible realm we live in.
Yes, yes.
If God tells you how to drive your car, that's spiritual.
That's right.
But we always say, that's just natural. Not if God said it. And so that's why it's so important. We need to practice just obeying God in those small things.
That's right.
You know, he tell you to go to bed early. Don't tell him after this commercial, go. Go to bed. Amen. Are you going to go to bed early tomorrow? No, he said go to bed early tonight. How many people believe God talks about stuff like that? Because there's some people who don't. They think God only talks about big spiritual things, about praying, about fasting, about... No, God talks about small things.
Yeah, amen.
You need to stop using mayonnaise and use mustard on your sandwich.
Yep.
And you don't listen. And then you go to the doctor. Oh, your cholesterol level's high. Oh, who did the...
Exactly. Right.
Obey God, even in those small things. Why? Because you're being submissive to his will. Mm-hmm. But you think submission, a lot of time we think submission means weakness. But in God, when you submit to God, you become empowered. Because he gives you his grace, which is his favor and his power. And so we look in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Isn't that a call to resistance?
Yeah.
That's a call to take your place and don't move. But you and I just can't do that because we make a decision. That's it. I'm not listening to the devil anymore. No, no, no. It starts with submission to God. That submission then leads to you being empowered to be able to stand against the devil. And God made a promise. When you do that and you resist him, say, I'm not going anywhere, Satan. Right? Because you're leading a submissive life. And now you can start talking and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Now you can start talking and say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now you can start talking and saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. Now you can say some stuff. And now those words are going to have some power behind them.
That's right.
Because they're coming from a submitted person. A person who has submitted themselves first unto God. And now when they resist Satan, they see him taking off and running like the coward that he is. But that's how we have to do it, amen. That's how we have to do it. I'm going to ask you to turn with me one last scripture, and we're going to get on up out of here. I know some of you are saying, man, I can't wait to start resisting Satan. I'm going home right now. I'm going to start resisting him right now. But first, what are you going to do first?
Submit
to God. Amen. I'm telling you, Gwen, do you know some of the biggest submission that Christians have to do is after church on Sunday when they go out for fellowship to eat? Don't wait until after you already ate the cheesecake with the thing. No. When you leave the church for your post-church fellowship today, that's the time to start submitting. So when you go to the buffet, take a salad. I'm praying for this. I really am. For all Christians, amen, and even for people, amen, but especially for Christians. Because God said we need to take care of the temple. The temple of the Holy Ghost. That's our body, right? And this is what I'm praying. When you go to a restaurant, eat the way you would eat at home. I can't tell you the last time I had an appetizer at home. I know we love our appetizer. Okay, but just take one. People go to buffets. Why I'm saying that? Because people go to buffets. This Christian's going to go to buffets this afternoon. They're going to have 3-4 plates. You don't eat like that at home.
Because you're paying for it.
Mm-hmm. You pay for your food at home, too.
Not the same.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it's free. $19.95. I'm getting my money's worth. Ask God what you should eat today after church service, and then submit to them. Start practicing your submission right now in ways great and small. Don't just do, Lord, what do you want me to read, and what do you want me to do, and be all spiritual. Even in natural things, ask God what he wants you to do, and then submit. Because that submission is not going to make you weak. It's going to make you strong. Amen. It's going to make you strong. Isn't that what Paul said? Thrice I pray that God take this thing from me. What did he say? My grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
Right? And then he said, wherefore I glory in my infirmity. For when I am weak, then am I
strong.
When he submitted to God saying, my grace is sufficient, and he stopped asking God to take it away from him. Now he gloried in his weakness, because in his weakness, God's strength was what?
Made perfect.
Made perfect. Amen. So we're in 1 Peter, right? Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Did I say that?
No.
I didn't? Oh, sorry. Oh, I just said we got one last place to go, right? It's 1 Peter chapter 5. Praise be unto God. 1 Peter chapter 5. But let's look at verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Praise God. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him, or casting all your care upon him. That word all is important. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom do what? Resist. How? Steadfast in the faith. Amen. So his Peter saying the same thing. Be humble. Mm-hmm. Humble yourself before your elders. Humble yourself before others. Humble yourself before God. He'll exalt you in due time. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives favor and power to the humble. And why are you going to need it? Because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, seeking whom from those he can steal, kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. But look what Peter said. But that Satan, you're supposed to resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast means you're unwavering. It means you're uncompromising. It means you don't yield. You're determined. You resist him with a determination, saying, you ain't coming in my house. You ain't coming in my finances. And you, but once you can submit to God, you're in a position to say that with some strength. You're not coming in my house. You're not messing with my stuff. You're not messing with my money. You just can't say that and think you're resisting Satan the way God wants you to resist him. You submit first, you resist second, and third, Satan flees.
Amen.
Amen. But remember, right, Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan wants to bind us up in wrong thinking. He attacks our minds. He wants the access to us so he can bind us up. Jesus says something, you know, that we all should remember. He said that you can't enter the strong man's house until you first bind the strong man.
Yep.
So understand, Satan can't get into your house until he first binds you. And the way he looks to bind us is through wrong thinking.
Yeah.
If I can get you to think like me, if I can get you to follow my devices, my plans thought out, I can tie you up in knots. And once I tie you up in knots, I can wreak havoc in your whole house.
Yep.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them bind you, amen? Don't let them bind you. Be submissive unto God, amen? And watch him flee from us. And so I praise God for today because of how he put things together. Because to hear Sister Fennell come up here in her reflection and talk about the enemy being so busy. And I believe God just wants us to know, okay, he's busy, but you need to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, okay, he's busy. Well, then you get busy. And get busy doing what? Get busy doing things that God says that will allow us to resist him in all of his busyness and all of his evil works. Because God has given us the formula. He's given us the prescription.
Yeah.
Now get busy and start putting it into practice. Amen?
Yeah.
Start putting it into practice. And this way you don't have to talk about it. Go tell people what Satan's doing for you. Talk about pray my strength in the Lord. You see how the church does? Because we understand we need God's strength, but we're praying for it. The answer, you got to pray for God's strength. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He gives grace to the humble, favor and power So you can get God's power and access to his full power. All authority in heaven and earth is in my hand. Jesus wants to give it unto us, but he's going to give it to who? He's going to give it to the humble ones.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I don't need to pray your strength in the Lord. You don't need to pray my strength in the Lord. You and I just need to get on and be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And God will grant us his strength. Amen?
Amen.
And then we're able to stand steadfast in the faith, resisting that old enemy of our soul. Amen.
Amen.
And so we praise God, amen, that God is mindful. He's mindful of the women at the tea. I guess he's still ministering unto the women. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But he's also ministering unto us all.
Yeah.
Because how many of you know God is no respecter of persons? Right? And his word is for everyone who just wants to have a submissive heart and will believe it, because it's truth. Right? And truth is universal, man. It doesn't just apply that truth is truth.
Yep.
And so praise God, he continues to minister to the women, but also too, even for those who didn't attend the tea, he's ministering unto his body, amen. He's ministering unto the body of Christ. And I pray that we heard his voice today, amen.
Amen.
Mount a resistance, amen. Don't stand there taking it on the chin. Mount a resistance, praise God. Let's rest on our feet today. Pray unto this wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. And we thank you, God, for the word that you have given us.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for your patient love,
yes,
that you are extending, Father, toward the women, yes, who attended the women's tea. Father God, I continue to minister unto them, oh God, not only through, Father, this word, but by your spirit. And Father God, as you do that, continue to minister unto your people,
yes, Lord,
wherever they, Jesus, are, oh God. Father, we thank you for this word that you gave us today. Mount the resistance you said unto,
yes,
us.
Lord.
Father God, it's a reminder that we do not have to keep taking it on the chin from that old enemy of our soul. But Father God, you have shown us the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we thank you, God, for this timely reminder. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing it back to our remembrance.
Yes, Father.
Now, Father, we ask for the grace to walk it out. We ask you, oh God, to empower us by your Spirit, oh Father, to understand and to hear what you're speaking unto us. And, Father, to quickly subject ourselves unto you, surrender our will unto you. Not our will, but your will be done. Knowing that as we surrender unto you, we aren't weakened, we're strengthened, we're,
yes,
empowered.
Thank you, God.
And Father, we bless you, oh God. Hallelujah, glory to God, that our obedience leads to power that allows us to resist that old enemy and see him take flight. So Father, we thank you now. Father, I pray now that we will all be doers of the word that we heard today, that Father, we truly will be blessed and you truly will be glorified. And so Father God, we just thank you now by faith in the Son of God. We decree the thing. We know, oh God, that you shall establish it in our lives. And for,
yes,
that,
God,
we give you praise. Hallelujah. We resist the devil, and he flees from us. Bless you, Lord. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.